Greetings, one in Christ's name this morning. This thing really doesn't work up here, so I'll try to follow along, make sure I stay caught up. It's good to be here this morning, see each of you. Just a few comments. It's kind of funny that Esther mentioned something about where could I go and how Grandma used to like that. Because when I was singing it, I had this flashback of me and my younger brother singing that for Grandma. I was probably 11, 12 years old. I'm just glad there's no recordings of it. These days, children aren't safe. But we were, because you think we used to sing it kind of at the top of our lungs, but she enjoyed that song. Also appreciated the devotional, Jason. When he's talking about God's creation, how it crosses all languages. There's no language barrier. God can speak to any language, any nation through his creation. And what a wonderful promise that is, that his awesomeness does that. And also that song, Levi, where could I go? That's a question mark. Where do we go? What is our source? Today, my message is God is faithful. I have Lamentations 3:21-23 as kind of a key verse. It says, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." And we've been singing about the greatness of God and how he's there for us. And as each day dawns, there is a clean slate. God's mercies are new. He is faithful. He is always there. And we can trust him with that. And as you think about which book this comes from, if you read before and after, how Jeremiah is lamenting how things were, I think Jeremiah 1:1 says something about how is it that a great city full of people is now basically empty, something along that line. You know, here we had Jerusalem, this booming city, the center of worship, for God's people is now empty. Lamentations 2:11 says this, "Mine eyes do fail with tears, my bowels are troubled, my liver is poured out in grief." Now that doesn't give us a very good picture, but it speaks of the what Jeremiah was feeling for that city. The NLT says, "I have cried until tears no longer come. My heart is broken. My spirit is poured out in agony as I see the desperate plight of my people." So that's in the NLT. So that gives a little more of a how we would think today. But Jeremiah was lamenting, and in the midst of that, he recognized the faithfulness of God. It's his great love that we are not consumed. He is faithful. He is always there. In the valleys of life, we can have hope. As God spared his chosen people and the Messiah came through his people, and he is here and he is sparing us today. And each day we have a new round of his faithfulness. I want to be looking at God's faithfulness as a main part of my message. I am going to go backwards just a little bit here. For our home people, home congregation, when you know that I have a sabbatical coming up here starting in July. But for you visitors, every 10 years we get a sabbatical as pastors. So it's beginning in July through December, I'm taking a six-month sabbatical. And as I was reflecting on that, I just went back a little bit the past 10 years, and I just want to just share a few things. So in September of 2010, I was ordained. I was given a new responsibility. and that included pastoring, deacon. So I was ordained at the age of 37, and if you think of retirement, 65 to 67, that's like 30 years of pastoring. So when you're ordained and you look at 30 years of pastoring, you think, that's pretty daunting. When you think of all the messages, what are all the things that the responsibilities that go along with that, it can be very daunting. And, you know, many people said many really good things to me during that time, to us, my wife and I. But there's one thing that was said to me that I have kind of clung to. And this person said, take one day at a time. Just take one day at a time. We'll get through today. We'll worry about tomorrow. Take one day at a time. And I recognize and realize we need to do some planning. We do. But one day at a time breaks it down into an increment that we can kind of work with. And that is true for whatever situation we're facing. So, as pastor, I was called to this work by God. And so I felt that calling, and I know that God has called me to do that. Through the circumstances of my ordination and everything, I recognize that God called me to do this work. Now, this isn't something that I volunteered for. If it were, I would have probably opted out somewhere along the line. That's why I did my volunteer term here. I'm done now. But when God calls you to a specific work, you want to be willing to do that. I don't want to be like Jonah and try to run away. I don't want to be like Moses and try to push it off on somebody else. But in these past 10 years, when things have been maybe a little more rough, I recognize that God called me to this, and you don't just run away from it. So here are 10 things that a little bit of reflection. I did this very quickly. Didn't spend a lot of time. But in thinking about our message title, that God is faithful all the time, number one, when it was my turn to preach on a Sunday morning and it just seemed that the well was dry, God gave me a message from somewhere it came from. It came from God. When I was extremely tired, God gave me strength. And so God was faithful in those things. Sometimes we as pastors get tired. There's just a lot of things happening. But yet, we need to set aside that time, and we need strength, and we need a message for Sunday morning. Number three, trying to balance work, home, and church is not always an easy task. And these are in a random order, so they're not in order of importance or anything like that. In the past 10 years, I've sensed preaching as a responsibility. To feed the flock of God, to stand up here, to rightly divide the word of truth, to speak the truth of God's word is a little bit scary, even today. Because as a pastor, I would never want to be responsible to lead someone astray or to give someone a false hope or a false leading at all. I want to speak the truth. Another one, it's a joy to see people grow, mature, grow in God's word, and take on responsibility. And I see our younger youth going into service and to Bible school and getting married, and they're growing and they're taking on more responsibility, and that is a joy. Another one is I would have a hard time finding a better team to work with. Now, I don't know if they can say the same about that about me, but I appreciated my team, the support, the way that we can work together. That has been a joy. Another thing is I've done things incorrectly. I've made mistakes. I haven't been perfect. So I'm going to use this analogy. 20 years ago, I used to play some basketball every week or so at Woodlawn there. We'd have a church league, play basketball. I was short and slow, and I didn't have the best shot. So basically, I wasn't very good, okay? But I would often bring the ball up, because once you pass the ball, then you might get it again. But yeah, and you guys that played basketball with me know that I wasn't the most skilled basketball player, but I enjoyed playing. It was good exercise. But the point I want to make, so as I would bring the ball up the court, in reality, there's five guys that would want to do nothing better than to see you make a mistake or to capitalize on a bad pass. So when all that action and nine guys moving around, you bring the ball up the court, sometimes you just make a bad pass. You miss the guy that's right by the basket, you miss that pass, or you think a guy is open and you pass the ball and someone steals it. But in reality, you sometimes make bad decisions. And when you're sitting in the crowd and you kind of sitting up, you watch the whole court, it's easy to see, well, come on, guy. The guy was right wide open by the basket. You should have made that pass. But I tell people this, I had more answers before I was ordained than I do now, because it was easy to sit back. You weren't in that, you didn't have to make that split second decision what you want to do. And it's not always the correct one. So I've done things incorrectly, and I recognize that. I thank you as a church for your support for the 10 years as a young pastor. Your monetary gifts as today, and even many other gifts and prayer. I definitely see and feel the power of your prayer on our behalf as pastors and mine, even on those Sundays when I wasn't sure where a message was going to come from. I know people were praying. And then also my wonderful wife that has sacrificed as much as I have. A lot of patience, evenings at home alone, and even at times when I was at home, preoccupied with church stuff. But the main part, the main point that I want to go on from here is that God is faithful. God was faithful. God is faithful. He has brought me this far, and I know he will sustain me and keep me until my work on earth is done. So what does faithful mean? Faithful means true to one's word, promise, or vow, or faithful means reliable, trusted, or believed. So for the main part of my message, I just want to expound on some verses about the faithfulness of God. And as I said, this was kind of a seed for this message, is his faithfulness to me in the past 10 years. But I also want to make this message to be able to apply to each of your lives. You know, it seems that it's in the darkest of times that we cry out to God the most. So, you know, today, we have a family that has lost a loved one, and we have a church have lost a charter member. So we've lost loved ones. You may be facing a terminal illness. You may be in the middle of raising your family. You may be facing midlife crisis. You may be faced with depression. You may be running a business and things aren't going well. You might be single and you don't know exactly what God has for you. You may be childless. You may be going through something that I didn't name. Or maybe life is just really good for you right now. Maybe it's at the mountaintop. But remember that God is faithful. As Jeremiah was reflecting on how the Jews, the state of the Jews, they're in Lamentations, in the midst of that, he recognized that God is faithful. This morning I have 5 points that I just want to share with you about how God is faithful, and hopefully these can apply to each of us. First of all, he forgives. God is faithful in forgiving. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And I think this is maybe one of the most basic, most important truths about God's faithfulness, is that he will forgive, and he will forgive, and he will forgive. If you confess, he will forgive. He is faithful in that. He will never go back on his promise. He will always forgive if we are faithful and we confess and believe. He will forgive. Very important. The next one, God provides. Philippians 4:9, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Here Paul is just, in this passage, he is thanking the Philippian church for their support and saying that because of your gift, what you have given, he is praying that God will supply all your needs. In Matthew 6, Jesus talks about, at the end of Matthew 6, he talks about don't worry about life situation around you. You know, God takes care of birds, the fowls of the air. He takes care of his creation. And we as humans are more valuable than they. And he is going to take care of us. An interesting verse here in Psalm 37. We have this. This is the NLT. Once I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging for bread. This is kind of an interesting verse because if you would take it literally, you could kind of get the idea that if you're a Christian, everything is just going to be smooth sailing. You're always going to have plenty and what you need. But we know that there are Christians and at times we suffer. But in a spiritual sense, God will never abandon you. He will always provide you with what you need for the moment. He is always there, and he will take care of you and watch over you. Also along with this, some of the commentators would say, you know, that as a Christian, as believers, we tend to maybe help each other take care of themselves, make sure that if you look at how it was set up for the children of Israel, how they would take care of themselves, and every so often, like the year of Jubilee, everything would kind of equalize and go back. So they had a system set up to take care of each other. So in that sense, maybe that's what he was talking about. But for sure, God, in a spiritual way, God is always close, and God will give you what you need and the moment you need it. There are times when you have to make a decision and you're just not sure which way to go, or you're faced with a situation, but we're all here. We're all here, so we've made it thus far. So God has been providing for us. The main point I want to look at is the fact that God sustains and strengthens us. And there are many promises in God's word of how he will help us. He will sustain us. He will follow through and be there for us. Deuteronomy 31:6, we know the setting here. The children of Israel are ready to go into the promised land. And Moses is telling Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. So here we have the children of Israel. They were in Egypt for 490 years. They were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And here they come back, and they are ready to come back to the land that God had promised them. And we know that prior to this, when the spies went into the land, they said, we just can't do it. We're going to go back, or and God took them into the wilderness. But you know that those stories, even for the young children, they would have remembered what happened. And here we are at the river edge. They're ready to go into the promised land. And God is telling them, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. And, you know, as I thought about the many battles that they fought to conquer the land of Canaan there, how many did they do that on their own strength? They had, when Jericho was conquered, all they did was walk around the city and God did the rest. And so often we think we need to figure things out. But if we allow God to work it out, so often we try to run ahead, and at least I do. We want to try to quick make a decision and to keep going. But when we sit back and we just allow things to kind of play out, it works a little bit better. When you're playing basketball and you try to push the ball too hard, sometimes you just make a bad pass. Sometimes it's better just to sit back and just watch it play out. Another one is in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And again, here's Paul speaking. When you think of the life of Paul, all the battles, all the things that he has faced, the beatings, the imprisonments, the shipwrecks, you can kind of understand why he wrote this, because he had made it through those, and God sustained him, God gave him strength, God kept him because his work was not done. Being confident of this, God is doing a work in each of our lives, and he will see it through. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. We have that confidence that God is going to take care of us. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And so many times it is in those times of our inadequacies, our weakness, that God can get the most glory. When we are feeling confident about many things, we tend to do things on our own. But we know that God gave Paul a thorn in the flesh to remind him that God is the one that will sustain. God provides, God gives strength. And as I think about the past 10 years, how God has given me strength, God has sustained me, God has helped me through. And he will continue to do that, because he began a good work in us. God also protects. I think I'm a little bit behind here. Okay. God also protects. We are in a battle. There's an evil one out there that would like to destroy us, but God protects. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful. Again, we have this word faithful. He is there. He is consistent. He is faithful in doing what he said he would do. He will strengthen you, protect you from the evil one. And in Jesus' prayer, in John 17:15, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. And Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear him and delivers them. So we have God that protects us from the evil one. He gives us the strength. He protects us. He does not give us more than what we can bear. He He does not give us more than what we can handle. And the whole idea of angels being around us, you know, when we don't see them, we don't know what all they do, but we never know what all that work is, but they are there for our protection. They are there to watch over us. But most of all, God gives us the strength. He is there with us as we face the onslaughts of the evil one, the one that would want to destroy us, to take us down. He protects us from that, and he gives us the strength to do that. Point number five that I have, the promise of eternal life. We don't want to forget that. John 14:1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be also." Again, a promise that there's a heavenly home being prepared for us, for his children, and he is faithful to see that through. So just going back over these 5 points, one is God forgives. He is always faithful to forgive when we ask. God is faithful in providing for our needs when we have needs. Let's turn it over to him. Let's allow him to take care of that. God is faithful in giving us strength and sustaining us when the battle is huge, when we're faced with those things that I mentioned, whether it be terminal illness and things that just weigh really heavy on us, that hurt, that are painful. God sustains us. God gives us strength for those times. God protects us with his angels around us. And God gives us the promise of eternal life when our work here on this earth is completed, it's done, it's over. God has that promise. I want to share another verse with you in Deuteronomy 7:9. "Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments." God made this promise to his children. He wants us to know that he is faithful. He wants us to know that he will not break covenant. He keeps covenant. He wants us to know that he is there for us for 1,000 generations. That's a long time. So if you think a generation, it'd be kind of interesting how many generations, we could about figure it out how many generations there were, but if it, let's say a generation would be 20 years, that's 20,000 years. Well, we're at what, 6,000? The earth is 6,000 years old, so for those of you that like math, can maybe figure that out. But in other words, God wants us to know, God wants his people to know that he is faithful and he is dependable. Each promise that he has made in his word is there for us to claim. And he is faithful. He is a faithful God. He has been faithful to me. He has been faithful to my wife and I in these past 10 years. The faithful God is a God that is true to his word and constant in performing all his promises. We have a God that is an awesome God. And we sang that song about having him in the highest place. And we want to keep him there. In closing, I'm going to read you a song. It's called Faithful God. It is by I Am They. So if you listen to contemporary Christian music, you will probably have heard it. But for those of you that haven't, I'm just going to read the lyrics. It says this: "Faithful God, I am surrounded on every side, can't see the light of day, but I am persuaded beyond all hope you won't let me go. I stake my claim on every word you say. You will not be late. I will sing through fire and thunder, because you are on my side. I trust you with my life. I know my story. It isn't over. Even against all odds, you are a faithful God. You're a faithful God. The darkest of weather, though I can't see, I still believe you're good. So I'm moving forward through crashing waves. I know I'm safe with you. You hold my life. You hear my cry with every breath inside. I will sing through fire and thunder because you are on my side. I trust you with my life. I know my story. It isn't over. Even against all odds, you are a faithful God. That's who you are. You are a faithful God. I am convinced that your promises will hold together, and I will dwell in the hope of your love forever. I am convinced that your promises will hold together, and I will dwell in your love. I will sing through fire and thunder because you are on my side. I trust you with my life. I know my story. It isn't over. Even against all odds, you are a faithful God. That's who you are. Our God is faithful. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads before you this morning. We thank you that you are a dependable God, a God we can trust, a God who is faithful to provide for us. Father, just pray for each one here this morning. Just pray that you would direct and guide us. Be with us even throughout the afternoon. We want you to be glorified through all of this. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll just